Hello and welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. I'm David Giard, and my guest today is Oisin Kim. Oisin, how are you, and did I pronounce your name correctly?
I'm good, and you did a very good job of pronouncing my name.
Excellent. You're from Dublin, yes?
From Ireland, Dublin, yes.
Excellent. Tell me what you do.
So I'm a co-founder in a business which is effectively an online doctor service. We're the only fully Irish-owned and fully online-only doctor service available today in Ireland. And we effectively have brought telemedicine to Irish patients under kind of three main services, which are repeat prescriptions via what we call smart web forms, where you fill in details and the questionnaire will adjust based on your responses. We have at the back end then an Irish registered GP or MD will review the questionnaire and decide whether it's safe and suitable to issue you with a prescription. If safe and suitable, you'll get it posted to you next day. Otherwise, you may have to do a follow-up phone call, answer some additional questions, or use our second service, which is real-time video consultations. So we would offer video consultations to allow patients to talk with a doctor live, ask questions, get advice, get prescriptions, sick notes, that kind of stuff. And then finally, we would have home testing. So we post out kits to a person's home or office. They can take urine, swab, and blood samples, post them back to our lab here in Dublin, Ireland. And those tests, the results we delivered to them through our online platform via our GPs.
Interesting. So you're basically allowing doctors to service their patients without actually having them come in physical contact with one another.
Exactly. It's completely online. The physical part, I guess the home testing, it's completely home tested. So you can take a urine sample, a fingertip, finger prick sample for blood, or swabs. So because we lack the touch side of things, there are certain things we can't do, and we're not able to do online, obviously. But that percentage of medicine is getting smaller by the week as new hardware comes available.
So yeah, technology is a barrier to it, but also I would think that maybe there are some legal barriers as well. Is that right? Like filling out a prescription from an online form as opposed to actually seeing the patient?
Basically, it's exactly the same as face-to-face. The key thing of what we are is we are a communication platform for doctors. So everyone knows that if you have a problem with a prescription, you would phone your doctor's clinic and talk to them over the phone. So we're just giving people a much richer experience in terms of engagement with their doctors. We also implement something called Open Notes, which means that patients can see their notes after the consultation. But in terms of the legal side and we're completely regulated by the Irish Medical Council, which is basically the governing body for doctors. But separately from that, our doctors all make clinical decisions independently of their salary and pay. So if they feel something is not safe and suitable, they can just say no, and that doesn't affect their remuneration or the commercial side of their pay to provide a service. We're so confident of the platform being successful that we offer a money-back guarantee. So if our doctors can't help you online, you'll get a refund. And if our doctors feel that it's medically unsuitable, they'll just decline you and arrange for a refund straight away, same day.
Interesting. Okay, is this only available in Ireland?
It currently is, yes. So we provide services only to Irish patients at the moment, and that's because of insurance. Our doctor's professional indemnity insurance covers them for Irish patients while they're physically paid in Ireland. And in the new year, we'll have cover for the rest of Europe, which means our patients can use the service anywhere in Europe.
Outstanding. Tell me a little bit about the technology that you're using to implement this.
So in terms of our technology stack, we run Ubuntu Linux. And the reason for that is that Rails runs really well on Ubuntu. For a database, we use MySQL. And again, MySQL runs really well on Ubuntu. So this is a very, very common stack. The team have a lot of experience with this on different in different companies and different businesses. So we run basically our own DevOps as part of the development team. We've looked at a few different options. We've trialed some of the SQL Azure, and it's just not matured yet and yet enough to run with Rails, and it doesn't work with Ubuntu at the moment fully. But I think we can see progress being made there, and we'll of course trial that in the near future.
So how did you happen to choose Azure if you're not a Microsoft shop at all?
We've had a lot of engagement with the DX team here in Dublin.
Microsoft Developer Experience team.
Yeah, so a number of years ago...
I'm actually on the DX team in the US.
Okay. So I'll give you some background. A number of years ago, a guy called Josh Holmes...
Josh who was an old friend of mine. We used to live really close to each other. Great guy.
So Josh convinced us to try Azure for a startup. We trialed it. We found the performance exceptional, and we found the ease of use of the portal to be exceptional. It was just really easy to work with. Right now, I would say in excess of 95% of our entire stack runs on Azure, and we've had incredible reliability. So I think we launched in September last year, and we've had somewhere between 20 to 28 minutes of downtime in that period, and this is including time to migrate VMs when we've gotten warnings, etc. You know, it's been absolutely exceptional. Yeah, so it's more than a year now. Yeah, it's 15, 14 months, is it? Yeah. So we've had exceptional reliability. We've had exceptional stability in terms of performance. You know, I think we've all seen kind of cloud-based systems have issues with disk I/O and things when somebody else is hogging capacity on the server, the physical server maybe that you're using. But we found Azure absolutely rock solid. I think it's been a real win for us.
Are you taking advantage of any of the scalability options in Azure?
Yeah, so we have multiple redundant servers. We fail over on our API service. We have a web proxy service which terminate the SSL and do very little else. And we fail over on those. We fail over on networking. The only real kind of, I guess, single point of failure we have is on our database server because it's self-managed. But we're running that, and we have hourly backups. We're using kind of the enhanced storage, the enhanced local storage. So, you know, we've had absolutely no issues.
And I understand you're also a BizSpark customer.
Again, as part of knowing Josh, we got talking to some of the team here in Ireland, Michael Marr and Niall Moran, and we were accepted into BizSpark again. And this is a fantastic resource, and it gives you enough capacity to run, you know, a meaty enough site. It doesn't have to be kind of, you know, it's not Instagram, it's not, you know, it's not Bing, it's not any kind of large volume site. I think, but on the free tier, we were lucky enough to be referenced on the national news here in Ireland, and we had 2,500 people hit the site in about 20 minutes, and it held up. There were no problems. Our response times barely changed, which is just phenomenal, and that kind of gives you an idea of the type of performance we're seeing on pretty small machines that have been well tuned and well looked after.
Are you scaling out at all to multiple machines?
Yeah, so we have failover, and we have multiple active load balance pairs on both our web proxies and our API service. So, and we can scale up past that. We've tested it way beyond two, and within house we use tooling to kind of automate that in some ways in terms of configuration, etc.
Now, are you still in the BizSpark program right now?
Yeah, literally we're current members, and we still rely on the DX team for advice on, you know, on day-to-day issues. We have a support contact as well where we can ask questions, but yeah, we're still very happy to be BizSpark members.
With this telemedicine that you're offering, are there any advantages that has over the more traditional in-office visits?
So I guess there's a couple with respect to kind of a focus really on safety and consistency. Every patient is asked the exact same set of questions that are suitable for them. So our smartphones make sure that no question gets unanswered each time. And what this means is that we have a good bulk of coded information about a request for a particular treatment or a particular consultation. So we can use that to effectively mine that data to, first of all, alert the prescribing doctor. You know, here's a high BMI that you should be aware of. Here is a smoker who's looking for medication that isn't suitable for smokers. And we use a traffic light system during the consultations for this, so that if a patient says they've got a high BMI or is a smoker, they'll get either a yellow or a red traffic light system to warn with this. And I guess this is something that wouldn't normally happen during a regular consultation. In some cases, the GP might be too time poor to ask the same set of questions every time. So we make sure that there's a standardized set of questions, plus there's the important questions that the doctors have actually, our clinical director and doctor team have decided are important. And that might make sense in terms of it's around ensuring safety and consistency. And we can then post-prescription, if we feel there is a prescription that's been issued in error with perhaps a high BMI or a smoker or something like that, we can actually go back after the point and our clinical director can review that that consultation and the notes. We also offer open notes. Open notes is something where patients are given access to their own clinical notes. So all of our patients can log in and see all the notes the doctor took during the consultation, but also what the plan was. So we have kind of a four step, which is the SOAP protocol, not the XML SOAP, but it's subjective, which is basically who has presented themselves. There's objective, why did they call to us? There's an assessment, what did the doctor assess during the consultation? And then P is plan, which is what's the plan for the coming days, weeks, and months for this particular patient.
I like that a lot. I was thinking as you were describing your service that this would be ideal for people who were incapacitated, people that couldn't travel, like elderly people, for example. And I've had elderly people in my family who would go to the doctor and they would come back to the rest of us and would say, what did the doctor say? And they had no clue.
Yeah, so actually something
bad hearing, bad memory, or just the jargon the doctors use. And this I think that's opens up that channel of communication to the rest of the family.
We've actually extended the open notes to carers. So for example, parents share access to their children's record, and the new year will allow carers to have access to, for example, if you've got a grandparent who you're a carer for, but you might be working 3,000 miles away, you can effectively log in and look at the consultation notes as long as the person has correct permissions, et cetera. We're looking at how we can set that up in a clean way for carers to have access to the patient data as well. But already today, parents can share their children's clinical records. So if somebody does a video consultation with us today, both parents can immediately access the consultation notes and prescription and details that have been issued for their children.
I can see that as a big advantage. So what's next for you? You said you wanted to move to the rest of Europe, and any new features you're going to be adding?
Yeah, so within our roadmap, I guess, we have enhancements to make the platform easier for doctors to use, easier for patients. We're also looking at launching additional treatments via our smartphones, and also launching other types of services. So we feel this platform is very suitable, not just for kind of GP care, but also for other areas like mental health, lactation consultants, and other kind of general healthcare, like my TEDx, the works. So we hope to basically expand the platform out, and really at our core, we're a communication platform. There's no real magic in what we do, but we try to do something very, very well, which is make a secure, safe platform for healthcare professionals to talk to patients. I think expansion into Europe is something that we're going to look at in the new year.
Excellent. I'm not sure we actually said the URL, but it's on your shirt here. So it's webdoctor.ie. It's where people go to check out your service.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
No, that's good.
No. All right, let's wrap it up. This has been another episode of Dev Radio. Thank you to my guest, Oshin Kim, and thank you for watching.